Okay. Suyan say the recorder not ready. So have to repeat. This book is very good. This is a transcript of the session we had when we were having a house dana in Klang. I think we did it at Nancy's house, Brother Sia and Nancy's house. So that house dana was a very good one. Then she volunteered, Nancy volunteered to do a transcript, the draft. Then I edited it. Then it came out to be a very, very beautiful book. You read through, you understand. They are very basic, but they are very, very good in its meaning. It will let you understand why you make offering, puja and all those things, and why did the Buddha prescribe the five precepts. Then when you request for precept from the monks, they will chant. And the Pali word that they chant, if you don't have the understanding, you will understand from this. So this is something you will learn. Then also it has a lot of very good sharing on daily mindfulness and how to develop the understanding of the Buddhist way of life. So all these are there. So you read through, you will have the good understanding. Then it also teach you the art of listening. How do you listen to Dhamma? All these are very good. Maybe after I will read through the first few pages, it will help you a lot. Okay, exactly 8:10. Maybe we can start with the puja offerings. So Sian recommend 2. Oh, the husband and wife have to light the candle and incense. Have to light the candle and incense. Because to start the puja, we need somebody to help light the candle and incense. You wait for Sian. There's a lighter. They have a lighter. Yeah. Sian will pass you the lighter. Okay, the rest of us can stand. Yeah. Okay, let us stand. Sadhu, 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 yeah, sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu means rejoicing, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. 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 Okay, you all can be seated. So before we start the puja chanting, maybe I just read this part for sharing. It will help you so that you know how to listen. Otherwise, most people don't know how to listen. You have the book. You can turn to page 1. The Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha. So this book was based on a direct transcript from the recording of Brother Teo's Dhamma sharing held at Brother Sia and Sister Nancy's house, Dana, dated 20th June 2015. So this is 4 years plus ago. So introduction. I told the Kairamita who were gathered there that day, I said, just relax yourself. Get yourself seated and maintain some form of faith, sadha, virya, and attentiveness. Attentiveness is very important. When you are attentive, you are actually keeping a silent mind. If you are not silent, you cannot be attentive. You can check for yourself. Then attentiveness is actually silent awareness before the knowing, which is sati, or mindfulness. When you are attentively listening, there is no thinking. You pay attention. Otherwise, you cannot listen. Do you know why or not? When you are thinking, you are not fully listening. You are actually lost in thought, preoccupied what you are thinking. Then you don't really listen. That's why in the class, if you don't pay attention, you normally cannot really follow what the teacher teach. The moment you are attentive without thought, you are already in sati. Means you are already mindful, aware. So the thought must not come in to interfere. So when you are attentively listening without thought, that is through listening. That's why the art of listening, through listening. That is what we call the art of listening. When you listen without verbalization, without chattering, you know who verbalizes or not? Who chatter? You yourself, through your own thought inside there, chattering, verbalizing, sometimes mumbling, complaining, then commenting, the commentator. Everything is by that thought. I repeat, when you are listening without verbalization, without chattering, without any reaction from your knowledge and memory, this one you have to remember. You react to what you listen from your conditioning, your memory, your knowledge. You are not listening at all. Because you are comparing, understand? Cannot be, not like that. What I learn from other teacher is like that. Or according to the Buddha's teaching, actually it's your interpretation. The Buddha never teach like that. Means you are not giving yourself a chance to listen to truth. So if you are reacting and commenting using your knowledge, you are not listening at all. Because you don't allow yourself to have a chance to listen. You are being biased through what? Attachment to views, opinion, and knowledge. That is the silent mind listening. So when you don't have all this, that is true listening, the silent mind listening. You just listen with an open mind. No right, no wrong. Just listen. Then you can understand the content because you are listening. Then if it is something not in accordance, you will also understand. But you will not prejudge. That is the most important one. That's why I always advise you have an open mind. Because certain things that people share, if it's beyond what you can understand, if you don't listen, you use your knowledge, views, and opinion to comment, then you lose the chance to listen. Then you can never learn anything new. Because you are happy with what your knowledge tells you. So in the Zen analogy is, your cup of tea is full, you understand? Whatever that is poured inside, overflow out. That's why when the Zen master poured that guy the tea, then when it was overflowing, that lay person tell the monk, he said, the tea is overflowing. Oh, he said, actually this is to tell you, if your cup is full, whatever I try to share with you or pour in cannot be received. It will just overflow out. So that was the Zen analogy. So if you understand, you listen with your open mind. No need to accept. No right, no wrong. But the moment you listen, you will understand. Because if he has better understand than you, you will know. If the speaker doesn't have the understanding, you will also know. Then there is no conflict, no argument. Then if it is something not in accordance, you will understand, but you will not prejudge. So Dhamma is about learning how to silence your mind more and more and be more attentive. The moment you are attentive, you are already aware. So when you are at home, it's the same. When you speak to your spouse, your parent, your children, be attentive. Most of the time, most of the parents or whoever, they never give the children a chance to really speak. Especially when they are not happy with their behavior or whatever. Before they can even answer you, you tell them off. I mean, most people, before they learn the Dhamma, before they have the understanding, they tend to react in that way. So as cultivator, as Buddhist, we will not do that. We will listen. Then when we listen, we will be able to understand how they feel and why they are behaving that way. And then through that understanding, you can communicate with them. Do you understand? Otherwise, you don't even give them a chance to communicate. Then what happened is the kid will develop that wrong understanding. They will tell themselves, no point. My parent doesn't even want to listen. So any problem, they are not going to come back to you. Because they know the moment they open their mouth, they will have the firing and all those things from you. Because they are not listening. So the art of listening can help you improve your family units, relationship and all those things. So today, before we start the Dhamma sharing, we would like to once again thank the host, Pradesya, Sister Nancy and family, for hosting this wonderful house dana for us to have the condition to come and partake in all this wholesomeness. And together, we can also have a rather meaningful gathering of kayamitas, come fellowship, then we can rejoice together. That's why we recite sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then when I started the Dhamma sharing after the puja, the first topic I spoke on is precepts and virtue. These are the most important cultivation of a true Buddhist practitioner. You must keep your precept, you must have virtue. I like to thank all Kayamita who have made it to be here today to partake and rejoice in all this wholesomeness. At the same time, we can learn to develop more and more of these good states of mind, which are very wholesome and virtuous. Virtue is very important. Virtue are your generosity, your goodness, your kindness, your gentleness, your whatever good mind state. They constitute wholesomeness of mind. A person who can keep his precept has virtue, because he has no negativity. If you are a virtuous person, you have no negative thought. That is why you cannot violate the precept. You cannot kill, you cannot harm. You cannot deceive, cheat, or commit sexual misconduct. And you cannot give rise to inappropriate speeches that can hurt and harm people. You will not consume intoxicants that will make your consciousness very low. And because of that, the Buddha said, keeping your precept or cultivating virtue is the source of true happiness, true spiritual wealth, and true spiritual peacefulness of mind. The monk will chant this in Pali for you to understand after having administered the five precepts. So they will chant this. If you listen, it will sound very familiar to you. So normally after administering the what they call the five precepts. Before that, of course, the three refuges and the normal chanting. The monks will chant this. Silena sugantin yanti. Oh, sorry. Before that, he will chant Ipmani pancasika padani. So the meaning is, these are the five precepts. Then, this five precepts has very special ability to help you. That's why the Buddha said, Silena Sugantin Yanti, means if you keep your precept, you hold on to this virtue. Virtue is the source of true happiness. Sugantin Yanti is source of happiness. That's why you will have a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. When you keep your precept, you do not harm people. You tend to have goodness of mind, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness. You are virtuous. That's why you will have a lot of happiness. They call it the spiritual joy. Then silena boga sampadan. Again, precept or virtue is the source of true spiritual wealth. Because when you come for Dhamma activity, you will receive the teaching. You keep your precept. These are all spiritual wealth. You get to do all the 10 meritorious action. Then they share merit, they transfer merits. Then you make your aspiration and other things. So spiritual teaching, spiritual wholesomeness, merits can be received if you attend and keep your precept and attend such Buddhist activity or function. Then the last one is silena nibunting yanti. Silena nibunting yanti is very conducive for meditation. The meaning of nibbanti yanti is peacefulness of mind. So the Buddha said, precept and virtue is the source of true peacefulness of mind. So if you want to have good meditation, in fact, all these three must be there. True or not? You must have joy, you must have spiritual wealth, you must have peacefulness of mind. That's why precept precedes meditation. The Buddha says you must keep your precept, then you must hold on to it so that these three virtues surface. They're easy to meditate. Otherwise, you have a lot of problems. Then finally, tasma silang visodi. Therefore, let precept or virtue be kept and purified. That's the reason why you have to keep your precept. And it is out of love and compassion for cultivators and living beings that the Buddha prescribed to you the five precepts. The reason being, if you violate these five precepts, they constitute major evil. Your karma will be affected and your life will be affected. That's why out of love and compassion, he recommends lay people minimum five precepts. Hence, keeping precept can bring about a lot of happiness, a lot of joy. You must learn how to develop this happiness and joy. Sadhu is rejoicing in the wholesomeness of others. When you are able to witness them doing all the wholesomeness, you rejoice by saying sadhu. We can rejoice in other people's generosity, sincerity, and faith. Seeing how they help prepare and offer all those offerings, all this can lead to a lot of wholesomeness and joy. There's a lot of synergy too, because for cultivators who understand, they not only rejoice, but they will radiate their pure wish, and in return, all those who have partaken in this dana offering will also receive all this merits. Just like the monks, if you support them, they support you back in kind in the form of Dhamma sharing via their understanding. They will also rejoice. They will help you invoke the appropriate pure wishes. Then they will also chant for your blessing and teach you the Dhamma. In return, you receive spiritual wealth. So that is the reason why the Buddha says sila or virtue is not only the source of true happiness, it's also the source of true spiritual wealth and peacefulness of mind. Spiritual wealth is wealth that cannot be taken away, not like materialistic wealth that can disappear. Spiritual wealth is accumulated within our spiritual nature. And when you connect to your, via your meditation, it will support you all the way. Then when you keep your precept or virtue, you will have a lot of mental peace. That is why it's a source of true peacefulness of mind. The serene, calm, and tranquil mind. The mind will have little or no restlessness and problem. Because when you keep your precept, you don't harm, you don't kill, you don't cheat, you don't deceive. And you will not do all those wrong things. Hence, you will have fewer problems, less fear, less worry, and less anxiety. You don't have to confront civil society's law like police case and all those crime-related issues. And because of that, you can sleep well. You don't have to worry about people coming after you to take revenge. You are more peaceful. If you violate your precept, you will have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Then your negative karma, when they ripen, they will condition you into mental sufferings and misery, causing your mind to become restless. That's why there is no peace within, and you become heedless. But once you keep your precept, your mind becomes more peaceful and calmer. That's why it's the source of true peacefulness of mind. True peacefulness can bring about a lot of good mind state for you to develop the meditation. That's why after cultivating sila, samadhi will kick in. Then samadhi will give rise to wisdom, which is panya. Then the rest you go and read. Sila, samadhi, and panya, I teach quite a bit. Then after that, heedfulness and heedlessness. Then mindfulness. And a lot of other very important dhammas. Huh? You go back and read. This book is really good. It's a gem. Very simple, but a lot of understanding is inside there. Okay? You want to understand what you do as a Buddhist, read this book. It will help you a lot. Okay, now we start our puja chanting. Huh? Ah, you can rejoice. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. When this was given, very few people really knew what the content is. But when it become a transcript book, a lot of people are surprised that within that house dana, so much dhamma was shared. And this one you can listen to the audio file. I didn't add anything. I just edited it to make the language flow so that easier for people to understand. But when I speak, it's my colloquial English. So that is the only difference. So with this understanding, when you read my transcript book, you have to understand a lot of the earlier version. The English has not been polished up and all this thing. So it's a lot of colloquial language inside there. By colloquial, I mean especially the earlier book. I always ask this question, do you understand? Understand or not? So a lot of people who read English book don't like this type of thing. What type of English is that, understand or not? Do you understand? Because we are so used to it. Then there are a lot of this colloquial English. Okay or not? Can follow. So all this, to a English educated person who really read good English, they don't like to read my book. And I received this comment from one Kayamita, Chui, very good. She's very good. Her English is very good. She told me, you know, point blank. That's why I appreciate. She's very frank. She said, Brother Teo, in the class you can ask the Kayamita. She's very vocal. When you talk about politics, I tell you, you better be careful. He will never let you off. But she has changed a lot since then. So, and he approached me, he confronted me, he said, Brother Teo, what a waste, he said. I said, what is it? Your Dhamma is so good, but your colloquial language make people piss off. The educated, really good in English, I will never read your book. Then I reflected. I said, what she said is true. Then I said, can you help? Oh, then she helped me. She helped edit one of the book. I think that book that she helped edit was our seminar book, August 2013. He said, that they will pass to me. Wow, when the draft went over, come back, the whole thing was scribbled with her version of the words. Then I told her, cannot, like that, totally different from what I speak. Then he said, don't worry, I write in the preface. That's why that preface come from her. He said, so because of that, I learned. So the recent books, they are much better. Much, much better. So now you are very fortunate. Very fortunate. I think 2015 onward, since this book onward, the language, the flow are so much better. Okay, so now we start our puja. So those who came in late, you are not late. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sada, virya. Then mindfully, we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can visit that. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramane sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramane sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramane sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada viramane sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana viramane sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganda sarpa dipena Dipena tamadangsina Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dopena hang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana motamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi betang kusumena nena punena matena cahotu mokang Pupang milayati ita idang me Kayo tatayati vinasa bawang Adivase tunobante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of all these puja offerings. Significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light to the Buddha. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help us arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and douses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Tripaja. Bedang Pujayamu. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we can have another maybe 20 minutes of meditation. We are just now, I took up a bit of time. Today I will teach you slightly differently. The easiest way to meditate. No need to do anything, just understand what we discussed last week. This J. Krishnamurti quote. Is there a way of observing thought without any control, without giving it continuity, but observe so that it ends? If you can do this, you will become a very good meditator, cultivator. When you meditate, don't be actively thinking. Understand? So that's why there is no control. Who wants to control? Because your thought, most of the time, if you don't have spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance take over. It makes you restless, think a lot. You want to control your mind, isn't it? You want to be peaceful. So what you do? They give you technique, method, focus, concentrate, note here, note there, and you go and do all those things. Actually, you create more thinking. Because the controller is the thought. The meditator is also the thought. So how can you meditate? And Krishnamurti say, whenever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. So meditation is to silence your mind, to observe. Without words, without any thinking. But because your spiritual faculty are not there, your thought will arise. Do you understand? That's why he said, is there a way of observing thought, but without any control? Means you don't try to do anything to the thinking. Understand not? If it arises, let it arise. Because you have to tell yourself, the untrained mind is heedless. When I don't have the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance take over. If you can have this understanding, you no need to train. You just let it be. The moment you let things be means you do not create any intention to do anything. Then what happened to the thought? The thought will not continue. The thought will lose its momentum. Then it will start to slow down. And finally, cease. That's why the second part, without giving it continuity, you don't try to do anything. Don't try to be peaceful. Don't try to do whatever that the thought tells you to do. Then this thought that is dependent, originating, condition arising according to the Buddha, they will slow down and cease. We have no more mental energy given to them. You just let it be. Means whatever the thought wants to do, just let it be. Then finally, it will just slow down and cease. Because the energy that sustained it, the delusion, the wrong thinking, or the heedless thinking, is energy. And if you don't feed it anymore with any thought energy, it will slow down and finally it will cease. That's why he said, without any control, means without trying to do anything, then without giving it continuity, means don't give it any more energy to continue the thinking or the movement of thought. But silence your mind to observe so that it ends, so that the thinking ends. The moment the thinking ends, you will realize your true mind. You will understand what tranquility is, stillness of mind is, what paucity is. And this is the fastest way to go into meditation. No need to do anything. You only need understanding. But if you can supplement this with your spiritual faculty, it will help you a lot. You will progress very fast. Then meditation becomes very easy. The moment you have the five spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrances, you don't need to go through method, technique, and all those nothing. Whatever that they teach you, no need. You just relax, silent, away. After, I will go through my code with you. Yeah? I think the 24th October, Tammy did the outline short note. It's very good. After I edited it, then I go through that one, you will understand. Okay? So, meditate with this. We try out. So, tonight, no instruction. For the new lady, after, so I will give you some meditation book. You go back and read, you will understand. If you can do this, you no need the, they call it the skillful means. In fact, all methods and techniques are skillful means to train your mind. It has nothing to do with meditation. They are just a series of instructions to do things. And that is just to train the mind. Because their mind is restless. They got mental hindrance. And they didn't know the cause of it is the spiritual faculty. That's why the Buddha said, when the mind has the mental hindrance, when it's restless, sloth and torpor, lethargic, have this sensual desire, ill will, don't do anything. Even doubt, don't do anything. It is there because you lack this five. So you need to build up this five. So by doing what Jai Krishnamurti advised you to do, you are actually trying to develop sati. But the Buddhist meditation is better. If you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, that sada will make your mind very calm, very composed. Then this virya, because you know how special the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching is, he's not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. And he can make you, the teaching can make you enlightened. So because of that, you can be free of all suffering. That's why there is nothing in life that is more important than having this understanding. You will go all out. That's how virya come to be, spiritual zeal, to cultivate. When you have this, you won't be sleepy. Then after that, you only need to train your mind to be mindful in sati. And that one is just silent, aware, don't do anything. Yeah. I was very surprised. There's a lady in Bukit Mentajam. I told you, he listened to the, I think, recording of the AJBA, the two talk. She liked it so much, she contacted me through Facebook. Then when she contacted me, she asked me some questions. She said, "Brother, I really need you to help me." He asked me about Anatta, and then I explained to her. Then after that, I think she wanted to go to SJBA, the books. So I said, "You contact Sui An." So Sui An, I don't know what they communicate. Somehow, she must have gone to the website. And you know what she wrote to me after that? Before that, when she wrote, she doesn't understand what is meditation. After that, I think he must have saw the outline short note for the 24 October. He straight away wrote to me and said, "Until now, I know what is meditation. Daily mindfulness to observe, to understand what is going on. That's it," he said. "Not all those noting and all those things." Oh, I was very surprised. I didn't even teach her yet. She just read through those things and she understands. That's why tonight I want to try out this one, whether you all can understand or not. So no need to go through method technique. And you will become very different. In fact, when I did my meditation, I did this without knowing that it's this. Last time I cannot do anything. I started with Anapanasati. My mind became very calm, very fast. Continuous mindfulness, I went into absorption. Then later on, I release it out, then I do the daily mindfulness. Then when the understanding comes, every time I meditate, I don't need to do anything. I just relax, silent, I went into the meditative state. That's why I did it before. Otherwise, I cannot explain all this to you. And when you have that spiritual faculty, no need to train. No need method, no need technique. The moment you sit, all this spiritual faculty make you in the meditative state already. Straight away, you have sadha, virya, develop sati and samadhi. You have clarity of mind, the stillness of mind, tranquility of mind, fully aware. And you will understand many things. That's why panya will arise. It's not through the knowledge and the thought to look for things. That one leads to Dhamma knowledge. It's when you are completely silent, don't do anything, then your form and mind will create the movement and the activity. Then the 12 link, Paticca Samuppada. Then you understand who are you, what are you, how you function as a human being, how your mind operates following the 12 link, Paticca Samuppada. That is the real Dhamma. Then you come to understand how, before you have the Dhamma, before you have the right view and the right understanding, how you become emotional, fearful, how you stir your mind, how you react to sense experience, how you cannot even endure pain, you don't even know how to relax and all those things. That's why you see everything. Then you realize all the aggregates of mind, they arise and they pass away and you didn't die. That's why, how can they be you? How can feeling be you? How can perception be you? How can all the sankhara activity and the mental state be you? How can consciousness be you? They arise, they pass away, you didn't die. Like pleasant feeling. If it passes away, become unpleasant, you should die with it, isn't it? If feeling is you. But it disappears and yet you didn't die. If they are not you, then why did they arise in you? Then the question is, who are you? What are you? That is meditation. When you understand, you like wake up, never asleep anymore. That is what enlightenment is all about. You suddenly realize and your mind awakens. And it's not through knowledge. It's through that deep understanding from the silent within. It just awakens. And it understands that all this arising are the creation of the mundane mind. And the mundane mind, they need condition to arise. You can see them all. You can see all the dependent origination, Paticca Samuppada. That's why the teaching is very, very beautiful. Okay? So now we're off the line. So try. Don't worry about can or cannot. This is colloquial English. Can or cannot. Just do. Okay? We're off the line. Sadhu. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Yeah? Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Yeah? You need to make use of this trained mind state to help you develop the meditation while you are living life. So end of the day is to continue with your daily mindfulness. Whatever you do in life, whatever activity, when you are silent, the mindfulness is there automatically. Then when you train until your mind enters deep, means when it's very quiet, very tranquil and very still, don't do anything. Don't try to even not sitting, touching, forget about it, completely silent. Then let the mind enter sati. When there is no thought from pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, your true mind. Let that mind stabilize until your mundane mind enters sati. When your mundane mind is in sati, every movement, action, or activity you do is like magnified when you are in the form of meditation. Then your awareness and the movement and activity, they are like a flow, a movement. Then when you come out of it, also you can feel every movement. Then later on, when you are out of the form of meditation in the midst of life, every sense experience you arise, they are in sati. All your hearing is in sati. Seeing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile, and thought process, they are all in sati. Your silent mind is with it. That's why that time you are very different. They call it the specific phenomenal awareness. Means the awareness and the specific phenomena, they move as one. Then later on, when you become very skillful, you can become completely silent, just aware, without a center. That is the oneness nature, when your mind is completely silent, one with nature. That is the awareness without a center. Means it doesn't dwell anywhere. The mundane mind doesn't dwell anywhere. There is no center. That is effectively your true nature, your oneness nature. Some people call it the Buddha nature. So all this you can understand if you meditate correctly and develop it correctly. I need to ask you all for your feedback. Today's music okay or not? Not too loud. This is the mountain music. I try to choose suitable one. Finally, I saw the word mountain. I said, try this one. So it turned out to be okay. So I will make use of this to continue. Okay, turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the king of sage, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devadha Satam Sunantu Sagga Mokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam
Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhammasa Rati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandittiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Upanayiko Pajatam Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samicchāpatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Tadidam chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakkasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali karaniyo Anuttaram punyaketam lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then just relax body and mind. Maintain some form of attentiveness. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you may have. You can ask me question with regards to meditation, the teaching, or how to apply this teaching to help you understand life and solve your problem that you encounter in life. Okay? So those who want to report meditation or ask question, you can raise your hand, then we pass you the mic. Don't worry about the question. The question is just to create condition for my nature to speak. The best is to report your meditation so that I can guide you. If you don't report, I don't know what you do. Okay? Yeah. While I have a drink, you all can decide who wants to report. Anybody? Again, nobody. Yes. Pass to Angie. Yeah.
Good evening, Brother.
Yeah.
When we observe practice based on what
the Jai Krishnamurti
says.
So what do you do? Can you describe how you do it just now?
That there will be thought arising.
Yeah, and then what do you do?
By observing it, it will just disappear.
How do you observe? The most important thing.
That it has arisen.
That one involves the thought. You just relax, silent everything. Then find out exactly what happened. Then only use word to tell me. It's very different from what you tell me just now. Because you straight away jump to a conclusion. Aware of the thought will arise. That is what normal people will have knowledge. Understand? But when you are really completely silent and following that instruction, something else happened inside there. Yeah. You want to describe? Yeah. Not necessarily that thing, the way you do. But then I can explain to you where you went wrong. Mm. The observe word is very important. Who observe? There is nobody. It's just the silence, the awareness, that nature observe. That one is very different. That one no thought involved. No knowledge, nothing. Then most of the time it's just, I give you a hint. Something will happen within your senses. In fact, there is a lot of vibration. A lot of things. Suyan house got hell of vibration. Not only the fan and all those things. You got the aircon, you got the clock, you got the outside sound. Then of course PG cough. Then she felt very bad. She went out. Outside still cough until the session over come in. But it's okay. Because sometimes the throat make you itchy. But the best way to overcome it, do you know what or not? When there's the itchiness, when it really come and make you really miserable. Normally you have to do something in it. But I teach you a very good technique. You off the thing. Yeah. Be a distortion. That's why all these electrical things are very sensitive. So when your mind is silent, it's also very sensitive. All this vibration you can feel. You can even feel your own internal vibration. Your own heartbeat. No need stethoscope, nothing. So what is happening is when it's completely silent, this awareness is very different. Because of all this arising, this is what the Buddha called phenomena. The phenomenal world. That's why we come to develop the awareness of it. Through what? Through our mind. The senses. Without the senses, the phenomena cannot arise. So it can be a physical phenomena, a mental phenomena, or nature's phenomena. So most of the time what we perceive is mental phenomena, like vibration, sound, noise and all, even the ticking of the clock, the aircon sound, the fan sound and all those things. Then sometimes you can hear your fellow meditators breathing. Of course, cough is very loud. Then their movement. Because I think PG was looking for something to eat, I don't know what. The paper wrapping. But the word is not there one, no, when you are aware. The word is not there one. But the moment I use word, means I have to explain to you, I have to communicate to you, that's why the word come out. But the real listening, aware, completely without word, without anything. Don't try to know. Remember this. Don't try to know. When you are aware, don't try to know. If you try to know, the thought come in, it becomes Dhamma knowledge. What you described just now is knowledge. So when you are completely silent, there is a lot of this arising of consciousness. Whatever arise, aware. Finish. Understand? Aware, finish. Aware, finish. If you don't finish means what? You allow it to proliferate. Understand? Where you want to know what that tactile consciousness is. Do you understand? You want to know what that sound is. You want to know what that vibration is. Then especially after hearing all this tonight, you go back, you will reflect, contemplate. Does Brother Teo mean this and that? Again, the thought active, understand? Forget about all these things. When you meditate, don't try to know. Assume you don't know anything. From square one, a clean slate, find out yourself. That is meditation. Find out through the awareness, silent. Don't find out through your knowledge, your thought. When you develop that meditation, your mind becomes different. So whatever that arise, the tactile consciousness through the mental perception, they will perceive it. But before the word come out, finish. Do you understand? Finish means what? Just aware, gone. Aware, gone. Initially, let it happen. Let it happen. Keep letting it happen. Then after a while, your mind becomes very different. Because when you don't give it any more meaning, when you don't try to control or do anything, then this is happening. Is there a way of observing thought without any control? This one will happen. But you don't want to do anything. You just let things be, like I said. Whatever the mind wants to do, let it arise. It will pick up the sense phenomena, the vibration, the whatever echo sound or whatever that the brain, through the memory, through the words, will perceive it. But later on, when you have this type of ability already, you will not perceive it the word. You perceive the pure vibration, the pure phenomena. That's why the pure perception before the knowing. It's just aware. Even that word aware is not there. It's just that nature become aware. Do you know what's the difference between aware and consciousness or not? Last time I went through before that. Now I teach you another one. Aware and conscious is different. Do you know what is the difference? When you are aware, this thing is not there. You are not conscious. You are aware from inside. Well, this is awareness before the knowing. But the moment you become conscious, what happened? The thought come out already. The moment you become conscious of what you see, the perception, the word all come out already. That's a human being's problem is when you wake up, you are conscious of life. Do you realize that? Definitely you are conscious of that, unless you are still asleep. Then you are unconscious. But you are conscious. Conscious of life. The question is, are you aware? Most of the time, you are not aware. Unless you have developed the spiritual faculty, you have developed your daily mindfulness. You are hardly aware. You are never with your inner awareness, that nature, that silence inside there, that is aware. So aware and conscious are two different things. Before you become conscious, there is an awareness inside there. But from the awareness, it creates the conscious thought. You are conscious of seeing, means the consciousness come out already. That's why awareness and consciousness are two different things. That's why last time when I discussed that topic, Ingbi tried and she got it right. Because she straight away say, you may be conscious, but you're not aware. Unless you meditate, you cannot understand that. So if you are conscious of life, you may not be aware while living life. So that is where the Buddhist meditation differ from other meditation. If you check the Noble Eightfold Path, the meditation as taught by the Buddha, do you realize Most religion have all the power factor except sati. Do you realize that? Right understanding or right view, they also have their belief system, all they have. Then they always talk about right thought, right speech, right action. Understand? Then they also have the four, not the four right effort. They also ask you to put in effort, understand? Diligently cultivate and all those things. Then live your life in accordance. Means something to do with proper livelihood. But the Buddhist one is not livelihood alone. Livelihood is just a small part of right living. It's the way you live your life. That power factor is actually right living. So right living is more inclusive. The way you live your life is that power factor. Right livelihood is your occupation, understand? The livelihood that allow you to make your living, the money or whatever, that is only a small aspect of living life. Do you understand? So that power factor should be right living, not right livelihood. And the Pali word is what? Samawat. Ajivo. That one is not virya. Wayamo. Sorry. That one is different. That virya one is different. Sorry. We forget about that. So this one about the right living, a lot of texts translate as right livelihood, but don't argue with people. If you understand what the Buddha means is right living, the way you live your life. So the way you live your life, you must have the embodiment of the other Noble Eightfold Path factor. Otherwise, it cannot be right living. Without right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and the four right effort cultivated, right mindfulness and right samadhi, there can never be right living. Right living means you have the embodiment of the other seven path factors. So the other seven plus right living become the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why if you have the other path factor developed, the way you live your life will be in accordance with the Noble Eightfold Path factors. That's why a person who have right living will have right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action. Then the four right effort cultivated, they are ever mindful, constantly meditative. That's why sati and samadhi is always there. So coming to meditation, the Buddha say, you don't use thought anymore. Initially, the four right effort thought is still needed. That's why in the first right effort, what did the Buddha say? You have to arise the right effort to abandon the wrong thought that has what? A reason. See, here the Buddha say thought. We have four right effort. Right effort involves the mind, understand? The willpower. That's why there is effort. So when Krishnamurti say wherever there is effort, there is no meditation, he is right. The Buddha also right. The Buddha, when it comes to purification of mind, he give you three advices. Avoid all evil. Means you need to train your mind to be mindful, to aware. You must understand what constitutes evil. Then only you can apply the four right effort to avoid all evil. How to avoid? First right effort. Abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action that has arisen. That is effort. Understand? That involves the thought. So that one is the first two advice. Avoid evil. Do good. You need to apply the thought. Arise a four right effort. But when it comes to meditation, purify the mind, the Buddha say, Ekayano bhikkhave bhikkhu. O bhikkhu, this is the only way for the purification of mind, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for reaching the right path, for the realization of Nibbana, namely the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why when it comes to meditation, it's just about mindfulness. No more effort. The effort still involves thought. The second right effort is not easy. The second right effort, the Buddha said, you must arise the right effort to prevent from the wrong thought from arising. Wrong action, wrong speech. How to prevent? If you don't have the wisdom and the understanding born out of the first and the second turning reflection and contemplation, you cannot deal with defilement. They are very fast. They are very deceptive. They really condition you into delusion and corrupts and cling and condition your suffering. But when you are aware and you start to understand how you get yourself entangled, you are not asking question, huh? I know. Exercising the hand. Yeah, yeah, look. I thought he asked question. That's why I suspect. Yeah. Continue. Huh? So when it comes to this second right effort, you need to understand. You cannot do it without wisdom. The first and second turning wisdom. So after you have developed the first and second turning wisdom through constantly listening to the Dhamma, then you reflect, you contemplate, you inquire until your understanding stabilizes. Once it stabilizes, then you have this yoniso manasikara, the Buddha call it, wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Manasikara is attention. Yoniso is wisdom. Wisdom at the moment of sense experience, at the moment of attention. When the mind make contact, there is attention, manasikara. So during this moment, if there is wisdom, this one will prompt you. Do you understand? So the moment that mind is aware of this wrong thought coming out, the wisdom will prompt you. Sankara anicang, sankara dukkang. Sankara anatta. Straight away it will tell you that this is sankara. Sankara is what? Impermanent. Why? It come and it go. If you attach and cling, give meaning, it give rise to suffering. Straight away you will understand. Because there is craving, there is attachment, there is clinging. Then the last one is very powerful. Because it's impermanent, it is not a permanent unchanging entity. Therefore, it's non-self, empty, not you. That's why with this understanding, straight away, you will cease the wrong thought. The selfish thought, the fear, the anger, the emotion, all will cease. That's why you can prevent it from arising. And for those who have done it, they even come back and report to me. Especially those people with depression. I don't know why it's easier for them. Because for so many years they are in depression. And you know what they told me? Yeah, brother, I saw this wrong thought. I consistently repeat all this, that's why they can remember. He said, this envy, jealousy, this anger, hatred, emotion, they are so fast. No? Last time, straight away, you react and you lost yourself. You become conditioned into it. But you see, after learning the Dhamma, after having the mindfulness and the awareness and this wisdom, straight away he can see, you know, then he can talk to the thought first. Enough. For 16 years you have tormented me. Enough. So straight away it says, because these are wrong thoughts, she understand. Then I told her, later on you reflect, contemplate, to the direct seeing, they are impermanent. That one is more powerful. Means the third turning wisdom. Bhavana Maya Panya. See it in the meditation. The moment of its arising, sustaining, and passing away. Every phenomenon is like that. It has its three phases. Arising phase. Then if the condition continue, it will have the sustaining phase. Then it will cease. The final phase. Like this sound. The fan, the aircon, or whatever, or my speech. If I continue to speak, the vibration will continue. Right? Your hearing consciousness will be there. Right? Then just now I taught you all the art of listening. Right? So you know how to listen. Okay? So all this is what Dhamma is all about. That's why Dhamma is life. So when you understand this, you develop the wisdom differently. You develop through understanding how you function as a human being. So through that, if you know how to silence your mind and listen attentively, just like what Jai Krishnamurti say and what I taught you, don't try to know. Don't try to get your mind involved. And do you know that type of seeing is so different? That is the direct seeing. You can see the phenomenon, the moment of its arising. Even hearing also the same. You can hear it arising, the vibration, without the word. Very clear. Then the moment I stop, it ceases. Then you realize everything in this phenomenal world is like that. Arise, sustain itself, cease. Arise, sustain itself, cease. This is what impermanent is all about. Anicca, dependent origination, conditioner. Then you will understand the condition behind their arising and the condition behind their sustaining and their passing away. That's how you will understand what the Buddha said. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. And these causes and conditions, the Buddha has explained very clearly. So causes and conditions is very powerful, very important. You have to understand them. So whatever that arises, if you are mindful and aware, you will understand the causes and conditions behind, how it arises. It's just like in the Satipatthana Sutta. The first category of practice of the last foundation, Dhammanupassana, what is it? Mindfulness of what? Huh? Mindfulness of what? Huh? That fellow. Mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. And do you know how the Buddha in that sutta explained this mindfulness of the five mental hindrances? He said, when there is sensual desire or ill will, means any of the five mental hindrances, you have to develop awareness. And when you are aware, do you know what did the Buddha continue after that? Because you are aware, you will come to know how the arising of the mental hindrance come to be. That is what you're supposed to find out through the silent mind. That is how the direct seeing see. When the sensual desire arise, or the ill will, or the fear, anxiety arise, silent, aware, be with it, with the awareness. Then you will know how it arises. Understand or not? Because you are aware. Before the anger arise, before the fear arise, there was no anger there. No fear there. Then how did it arise? Through that meditation, you know. It arises because of wrong view. That's why avijja, sakkayadity. Then you see it in the meditation, not from the book knowledge, not what the Dhamma book tell you, not what people tell you. When you see it, you awaken. Then after that, the Buddha say, if you continue to be aware, you will come to know how the arisen mental hindrance cease to be. Because if you continue to be aware, what happens? It's just like meditation, the third way that the Buddha teach. If you just aware, don't do anything, don't feed it with any more thought energy, it can never get angry anymore. Yeah? It can never become more fearful. Yeah? Because you just let things be aware. Then it will slow down and cease. Because that is a dependent originating state. When there is no more ignorance, no more delusion, you must observe this and see it ceasing. That is the real awakening. That is what vipassana is all about. Vipassana is to insight into phenomena to realize the three universal characteristics. Then when it ceases, you will come to know that this is impermanent. it arises because of condition, it ceases also because condition no more. Then the moment you give meaning, before you develop this understanding, it will condition, craving, attachment, grasping that leads to suffering. That's why it conditions you to become heedless. But this is a mental hindrance. Prevent you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness. So when that sensual desire or any of the five mental hindrances arise, what must you do? Aware, don't do anything. See inside there with the silent mind how it arises, how it sustains itself. Then when you don't give meaning with the wisdom and the understanding, how it ceases. That is how you develop the wisdom. Then after that, the Buddha said, you will come to know how in the future this mental hindrance can never arise anymore within your mind state. That is what enlightenment is all about. That's how you awaken. You can read the Satipatthana. It's clearly stated there. But nobody seems to understand that anymore. They teach you funny way of vipassana. Completely different. Completely not what the sutta is trying to explain to you. That's why the words come in, the verbalization, the Dhamma knowledge, the technique, the method. Oh, not this, not that. You become different. Then all the knowledge come in. But the real meditation, purification of mind, is all about sati, silent, aware. That's why meditation is just relaxed, aware, silent. No need to do anything. Then all these things will happen and you will understand. Okay? Angie, so next time try. Then you report, you will understand. When you are completely silent, that type of meditation is different.
When we breathe, during the breathing process, I have the observation that this is the elixir of life, you know. So
that one is what your thought tell you. That's why when you are in the meditation, don't try to know. Don't try to like do anything. After you come up, yes, you can do that. But when you are there, once you tell me what you are going through, means you are lost in thought. Means this guy is inside there. This guy is trying to do the meditation, trying to develop the understanding. And continuity of thought is already there. Without giving it continuity, you didn't do. You let it continue. Understand? That's why you have that feeling. You use the word what about life? What life? Anisia. What is the meaning? Essence of life. Source. Essence of life. I thought the anisia. Doctor will know. Okay. Now I learned one word. Thank you. I learned a new word. So when you meditate, don't. But after you come out, can reflect, contemplate. Then that thing that you come to experience, when you reflect, when you contemplate, you come back to life. Understand? And then you can have that. Understand? Because that is part of the good life. Understand? Because what you try to reflect inside there. But I say when in the formal meditation, don't do that. Understand? But when you come out into life, yes. Because when you can have this understanding, even that breath can give you that type of understanding. Understand? Means you see the importance of this breath. Without this breath, there is no life. There is no sustenance. Without oxygen, everything cannot go in. Then you see the beauty of this breath. And when you really have anapanasati, when you are fully aware, I can tell you that one in-breath or one out-breath is full of clarity, Everything is there so clear, every moment, every instant. That is the real sati. The real sati is very different, I tell you, without words. It's just that thing. And the silent mind that developed this type of meditation is completely different. Out of the dictionary of thought-based meditation. Your thought-based meditation cannot realize this one. They cannot go through all this one. They verbalize a lot. That one without words one, I tell you. If you go through it, you experience it, you will know. The tranquility, the stillness. I still use word, understand not? But the actual thing is without word. That's why when you try to understand something, listen attentively. That's why I start off with this book, Essential Dhamma, The Art of Listening. When you use knowledge and all this movement, activity, you are not really listening. You are actually trying to use your own views, opinion, and conditioning to react to what you listen. The commentator is there. The thought is actively trying to judge, comment, and do all those things. So what happens is when you do that, you are not listening. You are actually allowing your brain to come in and interfere with what you listen. So you are acting according to memory, which is your conditioning, your views, your opinion, your belief system, and all of your memories, accumulated phobia, everything. Of course, including your wrong view, everything. And this one is the one that is reacting. This one is the one that creates the movement of thought, the attachment, the mundane mind, with the self-delusion, sakkayaditi, keep on manifesting, because there is a personality inside the ego that wants to know, that wants to own things, possess things, that wants to be right. All this is the movement of thought, the personality, the atta. And this is self-delusion, sakkayaditi. This is how living beings get trapped. So tonight, the main focus is, the advice of the Buddha is three phases. Avoid all evil, do good. That one involves thought, the four right effort. Remember that. First, six path factor of the Noble Eightfold Path. But when it comes to meditation, it's the last two. Samasati, leading to Samasamadhi. Then it gives rise to wisdom, it becomes the first path factor. That's how you straighten your view. So when it comes to meditation, no more thought, no more thinking, just silent, aware, don't try to know, let things be. Yeah. Now we can go through that 24th October, Tami. So Tami is, what do you call this? Not only Sanskrit, we have to use a good word for it. No, good word for it means something special that she has created. masterpiece. Time is masterpiece. The first time she really do. I think she spent very, very. So, Adam, don't worry. 24 October today, 28 November when it come out. So, you only 1 week. Why worry? Don't pressure yourself. If you are busy, let things be. But remember to produce it. That is more important. After you take it too easy, you forgot, then never come back to me. But Chin Hao will check. And I will know. Because when I go to that date, I saw Chin Hao one, how come got nothing on? Then I know that that outline shot note is not there. But Yun Chan very smart. She will call me. But till I think last Tuesday on, no need to write shot. He said, nothing much, all same. Then I said, message noted, understood. Because she don't have much time and understanding. But I think she got her reason. Because a lot of this thing she felt is repeated, understand not? And she cannot write better than what has been written. So she tried to make it simple. So Tuesday class 1, you realize, seldom exceed one page. If ever exceed one page, you must congratulate Yun Chan. Means that Tuesday session she really spent time. But there was one occasion, I remember. Turned out two plus pages and all those things. So anyway, I like to take this opportunity to thank everybody who helped to do the outline channel. And it's not easy, I tell you. But like Suyan said, you learn a lot. You learn a lot. But you keep on listening. And to help you, don't have to transcribe everything. The important one. That you don't know how to put in your own words. Don't. Follow my words. That is the best. That easy for me to edit. When you follow my words, I will straight away know what that part was, because it allow my nature to recollect. Understand? I need condition for me to recall what I share. If I don't have condition, I cannot remember. Sometimes the moment I say, the next moment is not inside here already. Because this one is non-grasping. Because this brain, the five aggregate, it's non-grasping, right? It cannot hold on to anything. That's why you ask me to prepare note and give talk. Cannot. You realize all my talk, I don't carry any notes. Cannot. If you use that, you are acting according to memory. You try to remember what you want to say, understand not? And that is not from your understanding. If it's from your understanding, whatever people ask me, straight away I answer. Do you realize one thing? A lot of people tell me, the way I answer Dhamma question is fantastic. You go and check all the last few talks. The way I answer, I can tell you, it's so different. But there and then come out. Then when I listen to it again, I was also full of surprise. How did I explain all this in such detail within that short moment? Especially the three turning of the Four Noble Truths, you can listen to the, I think two questions only there. One of them is NG asked on. Before that was another one. The way I answer it was revealed. Then the understanding life one was the same. The two or three questions also, the way I answer it was very beautiful. And it's very deep in its meaning. But from here, the nature come out one is different. Okay, now we go through this. 24th October, outline short note from Tammy. Those who have the WhatsApp, you can go to My Kinemeter, then click on the green color outline short note. Outline short note for Beratius 24th October 2019 Thursday talk. Now you listen. The moment you are silent and without thought, you are training your mind to be aware. Now you can understand it. Silence your mind. Relax, maintain awareness, let the mind settle down to realize its original state before thought arises. Then you will realize the true mind, which is just an awareness nature within you. That is your true mind. That is your self nature. This true mind or self nature is not dependent originating. It is the unconditioned. It is independent of sense data and consciousness. It is an eternal nature which is always there. Can follow? This is most important. If you understand this, then you don't have to look for it. Do you know how to find it? It is eternally there, whether you are aware of it or not. If you are not aware of it, it means where are you? Lost in thought, preoccupied with the sense experience, preoccupied with your thought process and all those things. That's why you are too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life. How can you be aware? So awareness is very important. So this nature is ever present. But because of your mundane mind, your delusion, your ignorance, you created all this heedless thinking. That's why you can't be in the meditative state, because you are hardly aware. So this part is very important. Huh? It is the unconditioned, independent of sense data and consciousness. It is an eternal nature which is always there. Without realizing your true mind, you cannot meditate. Understand this. Because without the silent mind, you cannot awaken to Dhamma. You know what is Dhamma? Dhamma is akaliko. Of course, sanditiko verse can be realized here. That akaliko, beyond thought, beyond mind. So if you don't go through the silent mind, which is the unconditioned, which is beyond thought, beyond mind, how can you realize the Dhamma? Do you understand? If you verbalize, chatter, and use your thought to meditate, there is no way you can awaken to the state that is beyond thought, beyond mind. So understand that and don't be gullible anymore. Understand? Better rejoice. This sadhu. That's like 10 years, spent a lot of time writing that one out. That was actually broken down into 2 or 3 points that I combined into 1 point, because it should be 1 point. Number two, when you silence your mind, you can be aware of the reality within the moment. True or not? When you are not silent, you are chattering inside. So how can you be aware? I always use this quote, you remember? Either you are aware and with the moment, or you are lost in thought. So remember that. So when you silence your mind, you can be aware of the reality within the moment. Then what happens within the form and mind? That awareness will have the ability to become aware of them. So this is what meditation is all about. You have to be aware of how you function as a human being. How the 5 aggregate of form and mind, how they arise, how they create all this phenomenal, how they condition living being into misery, into delusion, and how they create the evil roots. Then when you cultivate, when you develop the opposite spiritual faculty, you become different. Then you get to realize the true mind. How do you realize the true mind? When you are not clouded by thought, when you are not clouded by emotion, then it's like the cloud clear, the clear sky shine forth. That is your awareness. Like the sun's ray. You can understand. The sun's ray is always there. Right? But how come at night you cannot see? Raining, cloudy, you cannot see. Obscured by what? Cloud is daytime. At night, by the Mother Earth. Understand? You are on the opposite side of the planet. So you understand there are things that cloud your nature, prevent it from shining forth. That's why the sun's ray is ever shining. Your true nature, your self nature, is also ever shining, eternally aware. It's always there. But that is your nature. But are you mindful of it, aware of it? That is meditation. You can be relaxed, in a relaxed state of silent awareness, and let the thought cease. Let all emotions cease. No reaction of mind, no stirring of mind. Everything become peaceful, tranquil, quiet, still. That is your true mind. Easy or not? Very easy, right? When you understand this, people ask you how you meditate. Don't do anything. That is the real meditation. And people can never understand you. When you don't do anything, is there an effort? Is there a meditator? Is there thought? That is what meditation is. That's why if I don't explain it so clearly, not easy for people to understand. True or not, anyway, huh? Last time cannot understand all this. Last time, where got people meditate without method one, without technique one, without doing anything one? Like that also can become enlightened. They comment, no? They say, Mahayana, chan, chan, chan only also can become enlightened. That's why when you don't understand, please have an open mind. Don't simply say things, because you can never understand how people do it. Because people who really have the wisdom and the understanding, what they realize is completely opposite of what the world knows. Because this is beyond the mundane, the supramundane, and this is the unconditioned. And you use the thought to try to argue and come out with your argument and all the whatever Dhamma knowledge. That's why it's pitiful, miserable. But the funny thing is, those people who do that, they still believe they are right. That's why I say, don't be gullible. Find out, investigate. Don't believe anybody. Believe only after you have investigated. That's why the Buddha say, our Dhamma is ehipasiko. What is it? Stand up to investigation. If it's the truth, it will definitely stand up to investigation, is that? You know, what is the truth? Truth is whatever that can explain the way things are. Understand now? Who are you? What are you? How you function as a living being? All the universal characteristics. You can see them all, and you can put them to test. You can investigate on them, and every phenomenon exhibit that type of universal characteristic. That's why the Buddha call it a universal characteristic, you know. Means every phenomenon in this universe, they all exhibit this universal characteristic. Then number three, to meditate is to be with the silent mind to develop the understanding of what is going on within your form and mind, to understand how you function as a human being. So this one is also very clear. Number four, if one is not relaxed, what happens? Sankara activity will arise and habitual tendency will take over. You don't believe me, you go and find out. Most human beings are like that, heedless. The labeling of the unpleasant feeling is a mental hindrance. Do you understand? When you label it as pain, or numbness, or something that you don't like, that is ill will, mental hindrance. It will prevent your mind from entering the meditative state. Then when you get excited with sense desire or sensual pleasure, then that sense experience will make you heedless. You can understand that, where you are preoccupied with that nice feeling, that nice sense experience. That's why you can see beautiful things, beautiful scenery, experience life, but fully aware inside. Do you know how to do it? When you are aware, all these are possible. That's why good food, eat. Don't go and become gullible. Hey, you enlightened already, no more craving, no. Good food cannot eat, no. Then don't eat, pass to me, I eat. Where got such thing? The Buddha said, don't attach. He never tell you cannot eat good food. During his time, the king invited him to the palace. You think he eats simple food? They cook the best for him, understand? He still eat. So what you need to understand is, don't crave, don't attach. You can live life, you can experience life, you can do everything, but with full awareness, conscious. That's why the Zen saying is very good. Drinking a cup of tea with full awareness is meditation. Well, within the moment when they drink that cup of tea, they are mindful. There is no thought. No thought means what? No fear, no worry, no anxiety, nothing. So in that state of mind, which is peaceful, tranquil, still, fully aware, they taste that tea. You are fully within the moment to live life, to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of tasting that tea. That is life, do you understand? Rather than worry here, worry there, panic, anxiety, restless, don't know what to do, worry about everything. Not only your health, your children's health, your grandchildren's health. Got property also worry. No property also worry. Then complain. People want to own a house also cannot. You have a house, you complain. So much maintenance. Have to pay this assessment rent, quick rent, electricity bill, utility bill. A lot of people complain, Macau fund. But a lot of people without home, he look forward to own a house. And you have everything and yet you complain. That's why living beings are seldom contented. If you are contented, you appreciate life, you become beautiful. You don't compare in a negative way. You reflect and contemplate. You are already so fortunate to have the ability to own a house, a proper house. You are so much more fortunate than other people. It's just like paying tax. A lot of people complain, oh, you work so hard, all go to tax. The bulk of it go to tax, especially Australian. 50% go to tax. Then my friend, Sam, he very good. He said, a lot of people want to pay tax, also don't have the opportunity to pay tax. You can pay tax, you complain some more. Do you know what is it like or not? You have the ability to pay tax. Means you earn, understand? You have money, understand? This guy want to pay tax, also cannot. And you have the condition to pay tax, you complain. Do you understand? That is the weird way of human beings' behavior. Weird or not? Because no contentment, no appreciativeness. Don't know how to appreciate the good fortune, the good blessing, the good life. Everything also complain, complain, complain. Understand? And who complain? It's not them, it's the thought. The thought that has delusion, understand? That's why when you meditate, you can differentiate between the thought and the awareness very clearly. The awareness never complains. The awareness don't have thought. The awareness don't do all this. The awareness can awaken to truth. Then it can give you the understanding to live the wonderful life, the beautiful life. That is what awareness is all about. Awareness leads to wisdom. Thought leads to delusion. But we awareness and wisdom connected to the form and mind, then your form and mind become beautiful. You can live the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, life of an enlightened being, an Arya. That is to reap the fruit of your good or hard work after the cultivation and all those things. Okay. This new phone, every time I need to use my thumbprint to open it, otherwise it locked me out. Last time I didn't have all this, very easy one. I just touch screen, then it on again. Okay, I move on. Let things be. This one, listen, number five. Let things be is not a suppression. It is accepting the reality of the moment, which means whatever sensation that arises. May it be itchiness, pain, fear, or whatever, etc. Just relax into it. Then maintain awareness. Don't react and label that sensation or that sense experience. When there are no mental hindrance of like and dislike, sati will take over. And one will enter the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. This sati spiritual faculty will arise when there is no mental hindrance. One should continue to allow that silent mind to arise the understanding. When one is able to relax and maintain awareness until the silent inner awareness is very stable, then one can really meditate. Then only true meditation begins after that. So now you learn the real meditation, not the one cross-legged sit and go and do all those funny things. The true meditation only begins when you have the stable sati, awareness within. Otherwise you can't. how can you handle life and sense experience? In the midst of life, what is happening? Your senses are fully engaged. Do you realize? Do you realize or not? Every moment you have to be aware of seeing, smell, taste, tactile, thought, and all the movement within society, phenomena, and the place you live in. If you are not mindful, how can you cope? You become heedless very fast, I tell you. You become tired very fast. That's why you become exhausted with life. You never really live life. But when you are fully aware, you conserve energy. You don't waste all this energy. Through what? Through emotion, through fear, through worry, through anxiety, through sorrow, lamentation. You don't have all those things. You are tranquil, still, quiet, aware, full of wisdom and understanding. You have joy. You have understanding. You have all the good character, good nature within you. That's why the heedful one, the enlightened one, are so different from the heedless. The heedless think a lot, worry a lot of problems. That's why heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. The moment you are heedless, what happens? Heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead. So this part is very beautiful. Eh? When the mind is silent and aware, one will understand how one's mind functions following the law of dependent originating. Or origination. One can witness how itchiness from tactile consciousness arises, followed by how one inputs the content of consciousness, leading to the labeling it as itchiness. Then the desire to scratch, to overcome the unpleasant sensation, etc. You go into it, the meditation, then you will understand what I say. Then number 7. Before wisdom arises, the mind, which is deluded with wrong view, will cause the mind to be uncalm, leading to restlessness of mind, suffering and misery. Find out for yourself. If you are not heedful, not mindful, before you have the understanding, before you straighten your view, you react to sense experience. You create the mental hindrance without you knowing. And every day you do it so often, it becomes habitual tendency, and you also don't know. And this is what heedlessness is all about. Because you cannot reverse it. Because this is wrong view, self-delusion, ignorance. Number 8. When one awakens to the law of dependent origination, one will not cling to the 5 aggregates of form and mind. Then there is no more suffering. Having right view with regards to law of karma, karma niyama, dhamma niyama, and citta niyama, one is able to see sankhara as they are with understanding, thereby unperturbed by their ever-changing illusion, not deceived by the thought or the phenomenal world of consciousness anymore. This is how one can be free from all suffering. Number 9. When the mind stirs and reacts to sense experience, one is already lost in thought, conditioned by defilement, born of wrong view. A very stable mindfulness, daily mindfulness, is required to arise the wisdom. With wisdom, one will stay equanimous at the moment of sense experience, and feeling will remain as pure feeling, and will not condition craving or other emotion. One will act according to wisdom, to accord and flow with condition, based on understanding. These are all very beautiful. Number 10. The true nature is just an awareness nature within. When one awakens to this nature, one will develop the wisdom born of the direct seeing. The wisdom is then connected to the form and mind, thereby making it enlightened. But this form and mind is not you, non-self, hence not you. Even though this form and mind is not you, but you can use it to live life to the fullest, where it is related to your karmic nature. With this understanding, the form and mind will no longer suffer. One will experience the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, and get to live the life of an enlightened being. This is the main purpose of all Buddhist meditation. to be awakened. Number 12. Meditation is not to experience the fantastic mind state, but it is for one to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature after awakening to one's self nature. Then understand that there are two types of mind. One is the mundane mind that can allow one to live life, and the second one is the true mind that arises when the mundane mind does not interfere or cease. Meditation is to relax and silence one's mind and maintain awareness so that the thought ends. The mundane mind, which is the thinking mind, will slow down and cease when you do not feed it with any more thought energy. It ceases following the law of dependent origination when there is no more ignorance or self-delusion to condition sankhara. Thinking will not continue, and it ends by itself. Every moment you are either aware without thought, or you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking. If you are just aware, then you will have the ability to see things as they are, to see the truth and the reality arising within the moment. When thought ceases, that is the beginning of meditation. Can you do it? When thought ceases, then only meditation begins. So you cannot silence, relax and aware until it ceases. You have not started the real meditation. It's as serious as that. Don't go and do all those gullible meditation. Do this and you will progress very fast. Sorry for being more harsh this time. Because last time, cannot. Because people don't have the consciousness to understand yet. But now I realize it's different. A lot of people can understand. That's why now all this can come out. During the early day, do you all remember? I told you a lot of things that this nature understands, I cannot share, because there is no condition. People are not ready. But now it's different. The consciousness has moved so fast. And many of Kayamita can understand. Okay, I continue to read. Every moment you are either aware without thought, or you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking. If you are just aware, then you will have the ability to see things as they are, to see the truth and the reality within the moment. When thought ceases, that is the beginning of meditation. We were at this point just now. However, it must be a free mind and not a conditioned mind in concentration or jhana. Always remember that. Number 14. First noble truth consists of understanding the eight realities of life and existence as proclaimed by Lord Buddha. In order to understand the Buddha Dhamma, one must constantly listen to Dhamma, investigate the Dhamma, reflect, contemplate, and inquire to develop the second turning wisdom. Then develop mindfulness to constantly check one's own action, speech, and thought processes. That is how one reacts and gives meaning to things, may be a phenomenon or a life situation, and how the craving and clinging lead to suffering, etc. Must see them very clearly in your meditation and your daily life. Second noble truth, the cause behind all suffering, born of self-delusion. The five aggregates of form and mind are impermanent, hence not you, but it is subject to the law of karma, and it is part of you because it is related to your karmic nature. Understand this will enable you to have the understanding to live life through wisdom, to always take care of your karma. Then number 16. Brahatio advised that it is helpful to assume one is dead. This one very important. While in the meditative state. Only then can sankhara slowly cease, loses its power to stir one's mind, and finally only the pure awareness is left. When one lacks wisdom, they tend to identify the thought and react to sense experience, becoming emotional, conditioning the evil root to arise, thereby causing suffering. So, Angie, remember this note 16, it will help you a lot. Assume you are dead. Dead means what? Dead man cannot think, is it? So, if you are still thinking, means you are not dead. Then dead man don't know what is itchy. Understand? So when you are not dead, when itchiness is there, you tell yourself, I am dead. So don't scratch. Don't do anything. Hey, serious. Find out through awareness. Relax into it. You see how the craving force come and condition you to do something. Condition you not only to scratch. You have to see the subtle aversion. Initially, maybe not subtle for you or very strong. Because that one really draw you on. Because the first time I saw it, hey, I said, what is all this? No word, no name or no. The craving from the mundane mind. Because your memory, understand not? This is itchiness, understand not? And what you want? Pleasantness. Then, no aircon, complain. Wow, Cameron Highland, so cooling, so nice. Here, especially Whooping Ding Sir, no aircon. Then fan very loud. But I purposely choose that. I told Miss Lee, don't put aircon. Why? Train you. If you can meditate there, you can meditate anywhere. Understand? Because that is where I can tell you, if you don't believe me, you check with all the rest. You go to Whooping Ching Sir. 3 o'clock. 2:30 we start. 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock we start. Okay. I forgot. Every time I leave at 2:30, so I thought 2:30. So reach there, 3 o'clock we start. You know how hot is 3 o'clock. And the whole hall, I sit inside here. The main door is there. The sunlight shine directly on my eyesight. Not much time to share. And you know what happened? Hot, stuffy, no aircon. Then with the air come also. Noisy, the traffic, Federal Highway. That is the best condition to meditate. Because if you cannot meditate under such circumstances, you are not meditating. That's why a lot of the Kayamita can meditate there. That's why it's different, that type of training. Those who go to that type of so-called Noble Silence, they got a picture with the hand on the mouth there. That is not Noble Silence, that is don't talk. Noble Silence is enlightened one, noble one inside, the mind not even chattering or verbalizing. That is Noble Silence. You don't talk inside, chatter and verbalize, then emotion running all over. You call that noble silence. That is not noble silence. That's why Whooping Ching Sir is a very good training. And nobody complained. Then the place I sit, no ventilation, where the fan all outside. Then Miss Lee tried to put one behind me. I said, no, because I want to endure. If I can endure, everybody can endure. It's not to say I force myself to endure, because this is training. And there's a very good Mahayana saying, when the mind is peaceful, your body is naturally cool. Understand? Xing qing, zi ran liang. NB also know. Right on the whiteboard. Mandarin, in Mandarin, so that people learn. Then we can end. So the rest, go and read yourself. This is a gem. You should thank Tammy. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. She really created the condition. Really. That's why Adam, don't worry. Tammy can do it, you can do it. Must have faith. Actually, what she write was not like that. You can ask her to check herself. But immediately after I sent out, she wrote back and thanked me. It's really sadhu. And the mother also text me. You talk to your mother. The fan one at my house. No wonder the mother, Karen, also text me and say, thank you so much, brother. We learn so much Dhamma from you and you somehow treat us so well. It's the condition behind. Thank you. 心静自然凉、And you know this saying、last Tuesday class、Lei Hong not our Jingap Lei Hong, the other Lei Hong, she say this、because why she say this、No, somebody complain, oh, LC. They say LC cannot be in a place where there is heat.、you remember, PJ? You were there, right?、Then Lei Hong suddenly、say this in Mandarin. Xing Qing Zi Ran Liang. Wow, I told my wife, Yao Liu Tou. You don't think she like new, you know, just came back from China.She actually attended my class before then, left for many years. That's why this is what condition is, this is what karma is. You know why she attended the dinner? Jing Kiao, I think you know. Because I thought that Lei Hong was your wife. That's why I put her name in the list. So happily thinking that Lei Hong was your wife. Then he suddenly texts me, Say, Brother Teo, I just came back from China. I saw your this one. Yes, I can come. May I know where it is and all that? I say, I will send you that thing. Then she came. No? Then after that, keep on attending Tuesday class until today. That's what I meant to be on. If it's not because of this mistake, we should thank Lei Hong and Jing Yao. Otherwise, she won't come. No? Then you all sat with her there. The same table, is that, Lei Hong? I arranged the two Lei Hong together. And you all had a good discussion, good chat. So a lot of things are meant to be. We better end. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us share merit, transfer merit. The rest, go back and read. They are very beautiful and very important. And this one, 24 October one, can really awaken you.If you read it with understanding and you cultivate, you progress very fast. So far, this is the most complete because of the condition. I don't know how Tammy picked up all the things. Then when I read, I know they were not properly phrased. But I knew all the gem inside there. That Thursday we shared, everything was inside there. So the condition is meant to be, will be. That's why everything depends on your parami.Your affinity, the condition. If you are supposed to receive, you will attend, you will come. Okay? Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditwa jirang rakantu lokasasana etawata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadanSabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabasampati Siddhya Idang Menyatinang Hotu Sukita Hontunyatayo Idang Menyatinang Hotu Sukita Hontunyatayo Idang Menyatinang Hotu Sukita HontunyatayoDevo asatukhalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiyaSadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect. Triple gem, then we end. Thank you.
thing is nothing. When the Sanskrit comes out, I tell you, you get a shock of your life. The amount of teaching inside him. Very different. Very different.
The new lady, I give you some books. Yeah. What's your name again? I forgot. Oh, Cassie. Okay, come.